listening to the Miss McBookworm podcast, a podcast that brings you stories from Christian women. What I envision for this podcast is a space for women who write fiction to share their stories in audio form, and ultimately to tell God's bigger stories through our smaller ones. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast.
Hi, my name is Jessica Gustavison, and today I'm going to be reading my short story for you titled Violet's Light. Violet's Light, March 1873. Violet sprinted after the slowly disappearing coach, a case in one hand and a wooden box in her other. Her case knocked against her skirts, her hat blew off her head, but although she called out for the coach to stop, it didn't falter. Panting, she came to a halt, her heart sinking. Everything that could have gone wrong that afternoon had. Unable to find her suitcase, she had been forced to borrow her father's old one with cracks in numerous places, the catches barely holding. Then she hadn't been able to find her shoes, though she could have sworn she had left them where they always lived. Now she had missed the coach that would take her to Hamilton. Her bottom lip trembled, and she drew in a deep breath, pressing one hand against her aching waist. In preparation for the lecture today, she had laced her corset tighter than usual and now regretted it. Carefully, she set the wooden box on the dirt road as she retrieved her hat. Her father had made this box especially to house the lantern she had designed over the past few years. This had been her opportunity to attend the competition, held by the famous Mrs. Hensley, and present her invention. If she was lucky, she would win the prize money and Mrs. Hensley would take her on as an assistant in her laboratory. It was the dream she had harbored ever since she was a small girl, to work as an inventor, and the prize money had the added benefit of being able to move her family from Greenwood to the more salubrious Hamilton. She had to win, both for herself and for her little sister, Beatrice, who deserved to attend school just as she had, so that she one day might have the same opportunities as Violet had. Failing was not an option. She simply would not allow it to be. Papa was out of town, so she couldn't borrow his wagon, but she still had 3 hours to travel the nearly 20 miles to make the lecture on the far end of Hamilton. This would be impossible if she walked, but if she set off, perhaps she would find someone traveling in that direction who might offer her a lift. She had some money after all, and she was more than happy to give some to whichever kind soul might be willing. Please, Lord, help me make it to the lecture in time. She could not bear to see the disappointment on both Mama's tired face and Papa's proud one if she failed when she had been so close. Steeling herself, she picked up her case and lantern and set out, ignoring the ache in her arms. Even if it killed her, she would make this lecture. Mrs. Hensley was famed throughout Covelin for her inventions and the space she gave for women within that field. It was an inspiration to see, and Violet desperately wanted to be a part of that. If she succeeded, she would be given a place in Mrs. Hensley's home to live during the week and the chance to see her family at weekends. It had felt as though everything had fallen into place, at least until so much had gone wrong that afternoon. A wagon rumbled up behind her, and she glanced back to see Mr. Frank, their neighbor, guiding a horse, potatoes piled in the wagon behind him. The bench beside him was empty. If he was going to Hamilton, perhaps she could catch a lift with him. When he saw her walking along the dirt road, he pulled the horses to a stop. "Violet," he called in confusion, "what are you doing walking alone?" "I missed the last coach to Hamilton, and I must get there before 5. She held up Papa's pocket watch, which he had gifted her to ensure she would not be late. "I don't suppose you're traveling to Hamilton?" He pursed his lips. "I am, but I promised to stop at a few houses along the way to deliver potatoes. I can't say I will get you to Hamilton before 5, but if you have no other options, you can certainly ride with me." "Thank you, Mr. Frank. I'm very grateful." His smile was kind as he hopped down and took her suitcase from her, lifting it into the back. She carried the box in her arms as she seated herself beside him, not prepared to tempt fate. If anything happened to her lamp, this would all have been for naught. "Where are you delivering the potatoes to?" she asked Violet. She prayed it wasn't many houses. "First Mr. Benson's, then a few others, and finally the Clements' residence." Violet frowned. "The widow and her boys?" "That's right." Frustration gnawed at her, although she did her best not to let it show. Mr. Frank's generosity was to be applauded, of course, but he could just as easily deliver the food tomorrow, and this was the opportunity of a lifetime. If she missed the lecture, there was no guarantee Mrs. Hensley would take another assistant. If Violet failed, she would have to go and work back at the factory, backbreaking hours for little pay. They reached Mr. Benson's house, and 6 wide-eyed children surrounded Mr. Frank as he unloaded potatoes with a smile. Mr. Benson, his back bowed and his hair prematurely gray, clasped Mr. Frank's hand in both of his. "Thank you," he said hoarsely. "I will pay you back as soon as I recover enough to find work." "No need," Mr. Frank gave an encouraging smile. One day, when you are back on your feet, you may find someone else who needs the help. Repay me by helping them. Mr. Benson nodded, a smile on his worn face. Time had not been kind to him, and neither had the needs and worry for 6 children. After Mr. Benson injured his back at the mill, his children had to find jobs after school. 4 of them worked on farms, Violet knew. Good work, but difficult. The youngest son was a chimney sweep, and his little face was blackened, though she was sure he had been scrubbed clean that morning. Thank you, Mr. Benson said again. I shall. God bless you, Mr. Frank. Her heart gave a pang as Mr. Frank settled beside her again, flicking the reins and clicking the large horse into a walk. She had known about the Bensons and the difficulties they had faced ever since Mr. Benson had been out of work, but her family's needs being what they were, it had never occurred to her to give what little they had away. As they approached the next house, she checked her pocket watch. If every house took as long as that one had, she estimated she would be close to missing the lecture. Her breath came too fast, and a sense of dread washed over her. Yet there was nothing else she could do. Without Mr. Frank, she would not have the chance of getting to Hamilton at all. Their next 2 stops were perhaps fractionally quicker, but Violet was still plagued by the worry she would miss her lecture. Just Widow Clements next, Mr. Frank said. She's a little out of the way, but that's the last stop. Frustration had her gripping her box even more tightly. Is there no way for you to stop on the way back instead? Only, if we stop there first, I think I will miss my lecture and... She bit off the words before she could say everything else on her mind. Beatrice would not be able to go to school, and her family would not be able to move to Hamilton and forge a better life for themselves. Her mother would be forced to ruin her eyesight by taking in sewing and doing it by candlelight, as she refused to use Violet's lantern before she had a chance to replicate it. Money was tighter than it used to be, and Violet's hours at the factory combined with their increased rent proved an impediment. Everything would continue as it had been, and Violet's dreams would be utterly lost. Mr. Frank leveled a steady look at her. When I reach Hamilton, I will be there for a few days. That would have Widow Clements and the children waiting days for food they need now. Would you rather they went hungry? No, but... If it's God's will, you will make your lecture. Violet closed her eyes, praying that it was indeed God's will and that these delays would not prevent her from making the lecture. The invitation had been precise. Mrs. Hensley's doors would close at exactly 5. No latecomers would be allowed in. She simply could not afford to be late. The wagon rolled on, and eventually Widow Clements' house came into view. The wooden walls were cracked, weather-worn, and broken. 2 of the 3 boys sat outside, and they wore little more than rags. Violet had seen them in church and thought them a little scruffy, but now she realized those clothes had been their Sunday best. Those worn shirts, patched until the material barely hung together, was the best these boys had. Here, their clothes were ingrained with dirt, riddled with holes. Mama would have seen these clothes as better fit for kitchen rags. And they were all so thin. Her heart pinched in sympathy and guilt. These boys were starving. At the sound of the carriage, they rose, wordless and eyes too large. Violet wanted to weep, to kiss their little faces and abject apology for her wish that Mr. Frank would merely come back. When she was their age, she had played, but these boys were too serious, too still as Widow Clements came out of the house with the final boy. Her apron was as ragged as the rest of them. Perhaps more so, it appeared as though she had cut pieces from her own clothes to repair those of her children's. "Mr. Frank," she said, coming forward with such an expression of relief that Violet's chest contracted once more. "Oh, I'm so glad you've come." Mr. Frank dismounted, took her hand and squeezed it in reassurance, and wasted no time pulling the food from his wagon. Potatoes and canned fruit, even some bits of smoked meat. Only scraps, but 3 boys needed sustenance. Violet placed her box carefully on the floor of the wagon and also hopped down, wordlessly assisting them in whatever way she could. It hardly mattered that her dress, so clean when she had left the house, was rumpled and stained with mud and white flour as she helped Mr. Frank carry the food. There were more important things. A feeling of peace washed over her by the time she climbed back onto the wagon. Perhaps she would not make the lecture. Perhaps her family would not move to Hamilton and she would not achieve her dream. But in wanting to achieve it, she had been single-minded to the point of selfishness. There was no use dwelling on what she couldn't change, and she was confident in knowing she had done the right thing and made the right choice. "Why did you not let Mr. Benson pay you back when he was able?" Violet asked as they set off once more for Hamilton. "Perhaps then you could give away more potatoes and food to people such as Mrs. Clements." Mr. Frank's smile was serene. "Paying it forward always gives more than paying it back. Mr. Benson will remember my kindness today and be kind to others for the rest of his life. I have no need for extra money. The income I have is sufficient. Besides, the knowledge that I did the right thing is reimbursement enough." He glanced at her. "And helping others always comes back to you one way or another, even if you do not fully realize it until after." The words sank deep within her, and she said nothing more until they reached Hamilton. Here, unlike in Greenwood, the streets were clean, and the houses weren't covered in the grime of factories. The town was industrious in other ways, shops lining the streets and barns on the outskirts. Here, the air was clear and the buildings were well-maintained. How her mother would love to sell their produce in a place like this. Violet looked around as they passed, and her longing became a deep ache. This was what she wanted for her family. She wanted to live in a place that did not look as though it were on the verge of crumbling around her ears. She wanted her family to belong to this place. Following the address she had given him, Mr. Frank rode up to a large brick townhouse. Steps rose to the front door, and on either side, more steps descended to other doors. One appeared to be for the servants, but the other she suspected led into Mrs. Hensley's personal laboratory. According to her pocket watch, she only had a few moments before the doors would be closed. Violet gathered the box to her chest, and Mr. Frank handed down her case. "Good luck," he said. "Thank you for bringing me here," Violet said, waving as he climbed back onto his wagon, now empty of the supplies it had been carrying, and pulled away. Picking up her skirts, she prepared to ascend the steps into the house when she saw a boy slumped against the pavement on the opposite side of the road. He was young, perhaps 6 or 7 years of age, and he held his dirty hands out in silent supplication. The passers-by ignored him, some even turning up their noses at the sight of him dirtying their streets. The flame of anger burning in Violet's chest made her step forward, away from Mrs. Hensley's house. She still had the money for the coach fare, and the boy needed it, just as the Clements children had needed the food. Paying it forward always gives more than paying it back. Mr. Frank would be pleased to know she had paid for his help by paying his kindness forward. Just as she began to cross the road, a well-dressed woman stopped by the boy. She was middle-aged and had kind eyes, and she was as elegant as a queen, though that was unlikely. Cleveland had a president rather than a queen or king like the surrounding countries. Beatrice would want to paint a portrait of this woman, Violet thought. Even her wrinkles seemed to have been designed to demonstrate the kindness of the lady in question. They acted as a sign of beauty rather than of mere age. The boy looked up at the lady with undisguised hope, and Violet's relief on his behalf spread through her. Given the genteel quality of her dress, she must have much to spare. And yet, when she rifled through her purse, she sighed in disappointment. "Goodness, I was sure I had some left," she said, pursing her lips. The boy's eyes dimmed, and his eager hand dropped. "Never mind, there is somewhere else I must be now, but if you wait just 2 hours, I will return with some money for you." The boy's shoulders slumped. No doubt 2 hours felt like an eternity to him. Violet continued her journey across the road, though she had but 2 minutes before the door to her future closed forever. "Excuse me, but I have some coins to spare, ma'am," she said, taking her purse from her pocket and collecting what her fare would have cost. When the boy's eyes filled with tears at what, to him, must have appeared a fortune, she could not help parting with a little more. So long as she had enough for lodgings for the night and the coach back to Greenwood, that was all she needed. "Thank you," the boy stammered, thin fingers closing around the money. "Thank you." Then, as she watched, he scrambled to his feet and away, holding his money as though it were a lifeline. "That was generous of you," the lady said to Violet, giving her an appraising glance, "but I am sure that money must have been designed for something else. If you follow me, young lady, I will reimburse you." "Please excuse me, ma'am," Violet said, dipping into a quick curtsy, "but I have somewhere I must be. The knowledge I did the right thing is reimbursement enough." A strange light lit the lady's brown eyes. "I see. And where are you going so urgently, may I ask?" "Mrs. Hensley's lecture on invention." "You are one of her applicants." "I am." Violet resisted the urge to check her pocket watch, knowing it would be rude but also afraid she had already missed the lecture. "If you would excuse me, ma'am, I really must be going." "We are headed in the same direction. Walk with me." The lady smiled and led Violet across the road, back to Mrs. Hensley's house. Violet sighed with relief. She might still make the lecture. "I presume you brought an invention with you, if you were invited." "Yes," Violet said, forgetting her worry in her excitement. "It is an oil lamp that produces more light using less oil, and it is designed to be carried, so it is both small and durable." The lady smiled as she ascended the steps to Mrs. Hensley's house. Violet paused in confusion, but the lady only said, "Your passion is to your credit. Come now, you don't want to be late." No, surely this could not be. Violet's head spun with the implication. This could not be. "Good afternoon, Mrs. Hensley," a stiff-necked butler said as he opened the door. "Do come in. Almost all of your invitees have arrived already." "I believe I have the final one with me here," the lady, Mrs. Hensley, said, motioning to Violet. "She is here as my special guest." The butler turned his deferential bow on her. "In which case, please be so good as to follow me, miss. I shall see you are given the best seat in the house. Would you allow me to put your suitcase in our cloakroom?" Violet glanced at her case and nodded. The butler gestured, and a footman moved out of the shadows to accept the case. She prayed the class would not choose that moment to break. They held together, and she heaved a sigh of relief as he followed the butler into the drawing room. Several girls were already there, seated at desks that appeared to have been placed there especially. The butler led her to a free desk at the front, and Violet placed her box beside her as many of the other girls had done. As Mrs. Hensley took her place at the front of the room, hands tucked behind her back, she launched into an introduction and briefly explained her background, how she had always been interested in science. After her husband's death, she had decided to focus her attention on inventions. So far, she had patented 30 separate inventions. Now she was looking for a new assistant, a girl whose mind she could inform and for whom she could open a new set of opportunities. All this Violet already knew, having followed Mrs. Hensley since she was a girl, and she allowed her mind to wander. Her day had been riddled with frustrations and delays, from misplacing her shoes to missing the coach. All that time, she had been convinced that might pose to be the undoing of her chances, but without those delays, she might never have met Mrs. Hensley outside the house. That had been a stroke of good fortune indeed. How short-sighted she had been, and for no reason. She had feared missing the lecture, but instead had been invited in as Mrs. Hensley's special guest. Thank you, Lord. Now she was here, however. She must rely on her lamp. Every other girl had brought something with them, and Violet was begrudgingly impressed by one girl's bicycle brake system. Another brought an efficient water pump that appeared even more grand. Mrs. Hensley, too, seemed impressed. Violet's heart sank a little as Mrs. Hensley stood before her, examining her lamp. I see what you mean, Mrs. Hensley said as she picked it up with the handle and twisted it. It truly is a convenient size for travel, and this contains your system. Yes, ma'am. Incredible. How does it work? Violet demonstrated as she saw the other girls had done, explaining both where she had found the idea, when her mother was straining to see her sewing, and the practical applications it might have, as well as how it worked. Thank you, Violet, Mrs. Hensley said, giving her an approving smile as she walked to the front of the room to address the girls as a whole once more. Thank you for being here today. I regret that I cannot, at this time, grant more than one of you the prize or take more than one of you on as my assistant. To think that this next generation has produced so many capable minds is a thought that never ceases bringing me joy. I have no doubt you will go to achieve great things. However, I must choose a winner. And before I announce it, I would like to take some time to explain what, precisely, I am looking for. My decision today has been based on multiple factors. I want someone who shows compassion. Every invention should be designed to improve the lives of the people who use it. I am particularly looking for someone who can design things practically, saving costs and resources for those that may not have them. You are all fiercely intelligent, young woman, and many of these inventions are exactly what we need. But there is one candidate in particular who stood out to me. Her gaze locked with Violet's, and hope fluttered in her chest, rising to lodge in her throat. Violet Easton, would you please stand? Hands trembling, Violet did as she was asked. Today, Violet demonstrated that she prizes compassion above all else, and it is for that reason I would like to award Violet the prize and the opportunity to work as my assistant. Violet's head spun, the other girls clapped politely, and she felt as though she was dreaming. Over the course of the day, she had emotionally come to terms with the fact that this prize would not be hers. She had thought she had accepted that reality, but now she had been offered the thing she had been working toward for so long, it felt as though her disbelief and joy would swamp her entirely. This was everything she had wanted. And if she had missed out, she would have been crushed. Mrs. Hensley accepted a leather binder from a servant and approached her. Congratulations, Violet. Thank you for choosing me, Mrs. Hensley. I won't let you down. No, I don't believe you will. Mrs. Hensley's smile creased her eyes. I knew I would choose you the moment you gave that money to the boy. But you hadn't so much as seen my invention, Violet protested. Everyone I invited here today had the capability to assist me, and anything else could be taught. But compassion, that comes from inside. Mrs. Hensley handed her the leather binder, and Violet opened it to see crisp bills. She gasped. Is this your prize money? Mrs. Hensley said warmly. And well deserved. Violet had known the amount, but she had not known what that would look like. She stroked a finger across the bills. Thank you, she whispered. Will you stay and dine with me tonight? It will save you the hotel fare. Tomorrow, you may travel home and inform your family of the good news, and I shall see you back on Monday. Mrs. Hensley gave her a stern look, but her eyes twinkled. I shall expect hard work, you know. Of course, Violet said, her back straightening. You will not regret this, Mrs. Hensley. No, Mrs. Hensley said thoughtfully. I do not suppose I shall. How fortunate it is that we met when we did. Helping others always comes back to you one way or another, even if you do not fully realize it until after. Yes, Violet said, hiding a private smile. If she had arrived early as planned, none of this would have happened. How fortunate indeed.